Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on IMF's report affirming India's economic strength. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, anchor.
I'm joined by Shubhamoy Bhattacharya on the topic of IMF revising its growth forecast of India to 6.6% GDP growth rate for 2025-26 versus the 6.2% that was estimated earlier. This is according to the World Economic Outlook report. And to discuss this in more detail, Shubhamoy will be explaining to us the hows and whys. Shubhamoy, good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Shubhamoy, just to give some context to this economics topic, there have been multiple estimates, not just by the IMF. There has been an estimate by the World Bank and, of course, the Reserve Bank of India as well in terms of what our growth rate is going to be for this financial year. And there is also the forecast for the next financial year. The central point, which is of leverage for India, is a first quarter growth of 7.8% that India achieved, despite the international headwinds, especially by the US tariff policy. How do you see the forecast of over 6% by all three bodies?
Well, you know, Arjun, it is now standard for the IMF to issue a forecast in April, which is in the World Economic Outlook, and then revise it in the October issue. Why do they do that? Because unlike, say, about a decade ago, events in the world economy now move rather fast. And it becomes important for the IMF, even for the World Bank, to keep on revising their numbers based on latest developments. And especially given the fact that there's so many moving parts now in the world economy, it's rather good that they do so. Now, talking about India, yes, it's interesting that in the April estimate, the IMF had penned in a figure of something like for 6.4, and it has now gone up to 6.6. And it broadly follows the trend that RBI has also shown. RBI, in fact, has been more comfortable or rather more confident about the growth rate that India will log, and it is at 7%. As you would also know, that among all the agencies which track the Indian economy, the RBI has the most granular data. It also has access to financial data. So all the high frequency indicators come to RBI and comes earlier. As a result of that, I personally am much more comfortable with RBI projections. I rarely ever see the RBI numbers going out of sync from what's happening in the Indian economy. So my estimate is that not only will the final numbers be closer to what the RBI has estimated, which basically would mean that the IMF would be coming out with a fresh estimate at the end of the year about what the Indian economy's numbers would be.
Shubhamoy, when we compute the gross domestic product GDP, we also take into account net exports and consumption. How do you see the GST reforms increasing consumption in the economy, which will actually raise the GDP growth rate for the remaining three quarters left in this financial year and, of course, the next financial year as well?
No, that's why, I mean, Arjun, that's why I was making the distinction that the IMF numbers are about the January-December figure and the RBI numbers are about the April to March. So there's clearly a difference of one quarter, which both are penning in. Hence, what would be implications is that what the IMF numbers are showing are already of something which has happened. So three quarters of the year is already over and the last quarter, and that's what IMF is looking at. Whereas RBI is looking further ahead, at least two quarters more. Now, given that, these numbers, as I say, essentially show that IMF is banking on a separate set of indicators to say why the Indian economy is at a particular stage. The RBI is looking at a more recent policy developments to make its estimate of where the Indian economy would be. Short of it is, IMF is saying that India is doing well because of the past reforms. IMF is saying that India has done well because of the policy reforms in two areas. One is the capital expenditure. which has been sustained high growth rate over the past several years. This is a remarkable feature of the Indian public policy. Indian GDP is 3% now, is now in capital expenditure. As a part of the government expenditure, central government expenditure I'm talking about, it is now almost 25%. In fact, it's a bit more than 25%. That's a remarkable change that the government of India has brought in. And those are the changes, the combined, what I might call the push that has been created by the investment in roads, railways, the telecom network, which is bearing fruit and which is what is showing up as the growth rate of the Indian economy. So essentially, the drivers that the IMF are measuring are those not of the export-led growth, but of the domestic internal growth drivers which have helped the economy to push up. The world economy will, as the projections of the IMF shows, for the next year will be different. But for this year, when it's projecting that revision, it is basically looking at what the Indian economy has done based on the runway that it has created of reforms in the past few years. And that is coming in to help the economy now.
Shubhamoy, apart from consumption, when you compute gross domestic product GDP, you also have net exports. And with the US tariff policy effective rate for India being 50%, how do you see our GDP numbers shaping up, not only in this financial year based on the projections by all three bodies, but also in the next financial year? Do you see a bilateral trade agreement working out?
First of all, the export data. As of now, the data on the exports have just come out today, and that shows that Indian net exports have slipped on the typically the sectors which goes to USA, marine exports, gems and jewelry. However, overall exports to USA is still at 7%, which is far more positive than we had expected to be. As you'd also know, the tariff numbers that the USA has penciled in are prospective in the sense that they are still being worked out in terms of the number of exemptions. And here, I think something which is not looked at is that while Trump talks about the headline tariff numbers, what he conveniently leaves out are the exemptions. The exemptions are huge. For instance, our generic exports, generic pharma exports, have not been impacted by the tariff levels which Trump has imposed. And generic pharma exports from India are massive. That's about $9 billion. While for the consumption of news circle, it is good to think that this is going to have a very deleterious effect. What I see from the numbers coming out is that they have yet to create a bite on the Indian economy's performance. This is what the RBI's Monetary Policy Committee report of the six experts is also saying, that they would expect the numbers to start having an impact only by later this financial year, not the calendar year that is ending in December, but the financial year that is ending in March. So essentially, we shall see the phenomena of tapering exports and tapering growth, if we can call that, developing it only at the end of the financial year, not now. We will, but in the meantime, if the discussions between USA and India on the bilateral trade deal fructifies, then obviously all the trade numbers that have been talked about, the tariff data that have been talked about, all get rolled back. If that happens so, then frankly speaking, the net impact on the Indian economy of this kerfuffle doesn't really amount to much. If the trade deal doesn't happen, then we shall have to paint a look at the new picture.
Let's now hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say regarding economic outlook.
Bharat bhi duniya ki teesri sabse badi arthavyavastha banne ja raha hai. Isliye Bharat ko bhi apne aarthik hiton ko lekar sajag rehna hi hai.
Shubhamoy, looking at the IMF growth forecast for the world, it's 3.2% in 2025 and 3.1% in 2026. Similarly, for India, as you've discussed earlier, the IMF forecast is 6.6% GDP growth rate for India 2025-26 versus 6.2%. So there has been a 40 basis point upgrade as far as India is concerned, but 6.2% for the next calendar year, 2026-27, and there's been a 20 basis point cut. Why is that the case here? What is it about the global economy right now that has made the next financial year the projections lower?
Two things will happen. The growth rate in the advanced economies are forecast to go down much more sharply than that of the emerging economies. I'm reading from the World Economic Outlook. And if you would see there that the impact of the tariff uncertainties affects, as they say, there's a tariff shock on the advanced economies much more than the emerging economies. Now, this is remarkable because this was not supposed to have happened. But why is it happening? Because of two things. A, countries like US and others are removing their quantitative easing. Two, the net advantage to their economies from the immigration is going to taper down next year, and that's going to be a substantial supply shock. And the third thing that happens is that growth rate for the world from the emerging economies will therefore be concentrated in the domestic areas. What is the difference? Just look at this. The emerging market and developing economies are projected to moderate to just above 4%, whereas for the advanced economies, the growth rate is going to be much lower at something like 2.5%. But that is substantially weaker than what had been expected. So this is a peculiar world order change that's going to happen. Because of that, as you'd find, that growth rates for countries like India will obviously be factoring in the fact that there's less export opportunities, because advanced economies will be growing much less, will be tapering down. But they will be making up from their domestic markets considerably, whereas for advanced economies, that leverage or that advantage will not be there. And this asymmetric situation is the most, I should say, significant takeaway about 2026, unless both the European Union as well as USA learn to put their house in order.
India's growth rate is higher than the China's, which is at 4.8% for 2025, 4.2% for 2026, and US, of course, is 2% for 2025 and 2.1% for 2026. Digital infrastructure is being seen as a key driver in India's economic growth, one of the foundation stones for it. What's your view?
Certainly. I mean, as I said earlier, that the reason why the Indian economy has done well has been the two things. One has been the capital expenditure, and the other has been the huge penetration of the digital market, the digital technological revolution. It has been such a major change that it has frankly got no precedent anywhere in the world. The QR code, which has become the signature for any transactions anywhere in India, particularly among the micro and the small enterprises, is something which was never even thought of. But that QR code hasn't happened all of a sudden. It has happened due to a sustained series of innovation, which means adding technology, revising it, and scaling it up. That has been done over several years in India.
Right.
And that is now given the small enterprises, especially the micro enterprises, the confidence to handle finance in a way that they've never done before. And that, I think, is a paradigm change, which is just without parallel anywhere else.
Let's now hear what the IMF chief, Kristalina Georgieva, had to say about India's digital infrastructure.
The most impressive thing India has done is policy reforms, tax reform, making it simpler. The digital infrastructure, which is public, it allows everybody to tap in and benefit from it. I think India needs to stay that course, reforming the economy, and of course, like everywhere else, make sure that the small companies, the entrepreneurial spirit of startups is given space to flourish.
Well, Shubhamoy, thank you so much for being with us on this program.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on IMF's report affirming India's economic strength. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.